This is Labrava. I want to say what an honor it is to be here with David Kukula and all our other guests. We will be opening up with a prayer. And also, I want to give a shout out to Dina. Are you listening out there? To Haga Paulus. And also, I want to send out prayers to everybody in the Midwest and the East Coast that are really burning up right now. So, without further ado, Bruce Elijah of the United Clan of the Iroquois Federation, are you there?
Yeah, I'm going to just jump in here, and Bruce was going to do an opening prayer for us. In our traditional ways, we always start our circles in prayer, and we close our circles in prayer. The old African proverb that as a circle begins, so shall it end. So we always want to do it in that good way, and what we want to do tonight, though, and what Bruce always teaches us, is that we have to meet the needs of our community. And tonight we want to dedicate this show to a special young man, Edward Christopher Bennett, a young brother, 18-year-old brother, who's going to be an ancestor soon. And so tonight we're going to talk a little bit about grief and a little bit about loss, because we've all suffered it. And tonight might be his last night with us. We also want to include Carol Severin in our prayer. She's a long-time advocate for the homeless and is now undergoing surgery. And we're going to wish her a speedy recovery so that we have a young man that's journeying to the other side, and we have an elder sister who's going to be reborn. And so I want to start this first part of our program in that sense of loss. And how do we deal with that? Traditionally, our tears and our healing tears. And maybe we have a special guest, Francis Weller, who does a lot of work in grief work. And I'd like to bring Francis in a little bit and share a few words about it.
Thank you, David. It's good to be here. Good to see community gathered around medicine and trying to find healing for all the things that we will face. We have a great denial about grief in this culture and a great denial about death in this culture. We tend to sequester people who are ill and old into reservations so we don't have to see them. And so when a young person is struck down, we find it quite striking, but it's not. Death is always present in our lives. So to be able to embrace the fact that death is with us all the time is part of our maturing as human beings. In our work, we say that a mature human being can carry grief in one hand and gratitude in another. And those two truths have to be embraced. We tend to deny the grief part. And William Blake had a phrase that said, the deeper the sorrow, the greater the joy. And when we avoid sorrow, when we find ways to negate that and to neglect that, we also correspondingly lose our capacity for joy. We want to embrace this. We want to welcome this. And I thought I would start just with sharing a little poem from the 12th century. And the poem says, 'Tis a fearful thing to love what death can touch. To have, to dream, to hold, and oh, to lose. A thing for fools, this love, but a holy thing to love what death can touch. For your life once lived in me, your words once gifted me, your laugh once lifted me. To remember this brings painful joy. 'Tis a fearful thing, love, but a holy thing to love what death can touch. May we all have that courage.
Thank you so much. I'll be meditating on that.
And so with that, we always want to remember the preciousness of life. And we always say, live your life as if it was your last. Not in the sense of having to grieve, but in the sense of having to celebrate. Celebrate that what we have. And never knowing that in the blink of an eye it can be taken from us, and a lot of times it's the pain for those who are left behind. And so right now we want to send a really some special thoughts to the Edwards family and what they're going through right now. And that we hope that when he becomes one of those ancestors, that we can turn to him and he can come here and he can help support us on this journey so we can walk our life purpose, because each one of us is born with that special gift. And we never know. We never know how long that gift is going to be given us. We never know from how many years, how many days we're going to be born, or how many days we're going to be living. There's an old Zen saying that a child who dies at birth lives the longest life. And so it's something, again, we need to understand that each one of us has a special purpose, you know, when we're carrying gifts. Each one of us are carrying gifts. And my young brother Edward, you know, he carried it for, you know, 18 years now. And I want to remember him for the gift that he's carried. And so with that, I'd like to ask our musicians, James Bent, Remy DeWong, and Guy Mendez, who are very close to Edward, to sing a little song for him and for us. And so...
by sharing that he is thee, and by sharing that he is thee, loving God, King of our hearts, you give all your
you know, has been on the longest walk, the AIM longest walk, and has just finished that. They walked across America. This is the 33rd year that the indigenous peoples of the Americas have went from the West Coast to the East Coast, celebrating life and bringing their knowledge and wisdom, feeding the earth so that we all have a future and our children have some good land to stand on. We can feel that joy in our hearts. So with that, I want to thank you for coming. And we'll be coming back shortly after the short break, and we're going to move into the sugar disease, diabetes. Thank you. This is KPFA at Living Medicines in Fairfax, California. is David Kukla on KPFA, La Onda Bajita in Fairfax, California, at our healing center, Living Medicines, 85 Bolinas Road, where traditional healers come to gather and help the people of the community find a new ways to heal, find in their visions, find in their hearts, being able to walk down the street in that good way, you know, with the knives in our pockets. We don't need the drugs. We don't need the alcohol. We can open our hearts to each other and heal what needs to be healed. So we want to welcome you tonight to this lovely program. We'll be on the air up until 10 o'clock. There will be a Q&A answer. We're going to ask the live audience here for some questions and also for call-ins. Make sure you call in at 510-848-4425. That's KPFA at 510-848-4425. Bring your questions, questions about healing, how you can find a better life. We're here for you.
We have to love one another. Start living as one family. By praising and sharing with each other. And by sharing that healing. By sharing that He is Thee, loving God, King of all, You give all Your love when we. By sharing that He is Thee, and by sharing that He is Thee, oh Lord, loving God, King of all.
KPFA Radio. We're live here at Living Medicines, 85 Salinas Road, number 7. Come on down, join us for this great gathering of healing. And thank you, Brother James Ben, for that beautiful music that you're playing. And we're going to move on into our program now. And we want my dear brother, Bruce Elijah. Bruce, you there?
Yeah.
Oh, welcome. Good to hear your voice. Oh, yeah. And so we had that little, at the beginning there, you heard that we were saying some special thoughts about Edward Bennett and him going to be passing over, and then also our dear sister, Carol Severin, who's going to be coming to rebirth with some new inners in her. So we'd like to start this part of the program now with you in your language, Bruce. If you could say an opening prayer for all of us, and then after that, maybe you could go and say a special prayer for our brother Edward and for our sister Carol.
Sure. Yeah, I can do that.
All right.
So we usually start off with, before everything else, is that we acknowledge life as it is, that is given to us. And we start off by greeting each other, and we say to each and every one of you, we hope that all is well with you. We hope that all is well with your family. We hope that all is well with your relatives and your community and the region of this great turtle island that you live on. And so with that, we start off by saying that as we come out our door in the morning and we step onto the ground, and the ground is our mother, the earth. And we look around and we see that all is well. And we hope that as you begin to see the great wonders of what the Creator has given us, beautiful things that we need, and what is told to us is that, can we mention every living being on the face of the earth?
On the face of the earth.
And so we do as much as what we can. From the ground that we walk on Mother Earth, and it's just like our mother, our natural mother. She provides, when we're small, all the things that we need to be able to be happy, to be able to be content, and to be able to be in a good way, in the best way that we can possibly be. And so that's what we do. That's what we do, is that we begin by saying that the grass, the shrubs, the trees, that's where the medicines are. And they're still there. It's just that for many of us, we've forgotten that there's medicines all around us, that the Creator loved us so much that He put that all there for us. And so we want to be able to put our minds together as one and give an acknowledgement of those medicines that are still there, the natural medicines. And so we want to be able to do that as one, so be it in our minds. And then from there, then we listen with our ears, and then we can hear the birds singing. And in our teachings, it is given to us that the birds don't have sad songs. They only have happy songs and good songs. And every bird is given that. Every species of the birds is given that. So we want to be able to put our minds together as one and acknowledge those which fly, who fly the highest, and get a glimpse of life that is so wonderful, so good, that freedom, and that we can still hear and listen to those songs that is given to us. So we're going to put our minds together and acknowledge doing it once. Every one of those species, they have a name. And it would take a long time to be able to mention all of them. But for tonight, we want to be able to say that we acknowledge all of the winged ones. And so we want to put our minds together and acknowledge as one, and give an acknowledgement of a big thank you. So be it in our minds. And then we go from there, and all the fruits of the world. And in our region, we say that the strawberries is the first one to come into season. And we've seen that again. And what we did, along with the children, grandchildren, is that we went and picked wild strawberries. They're very small, but yet very tasteful. They're not like the ones we buy at the supermarket, which is the size of a golf ball. And so we say, you know, that that's our first medicine. And it says somewhere in there that there's going to come a day that there won't be no strawberries because we have forgotten to thank them. And when that time comes that there will be no strawberries, there'll be many sickness, many diseases, and many people will die. And so each year, as much as what we can, we give a good prayer. We set a day aside and we take that strawberry juice and we take it to our people who are not well. And it's a medicine. And so when we drink it to ourselves, is that we give a great acknowledgement of how beautiful life is. So we want to be able to put our minds together as one and give a big acknowledgement to the Creator for giving us this first medicine. So be it in our minds. And then we say to the fin ones, there are many different species of fish that are in the rivers, streams, lakes, seas, oceans. We want to be able to give them a big thank you too, for they are still fulfilling their responsibilities and their duties. And it is said, when are we going to know that we've taken half of them and we should only take what we need instead of making it for profit and taking as much as what we can? So we want to be able to put our minds together and give a big thank you to the fin ones. So be it in our minds. And then we look at the trees. And when I often talk about the West Coast where the big trees grow, and being able to see how tall that they are, they're majestic. So we want to be able to, again, put our minds together as one and be able to give a big thank you for all the trees of the world. And in our part of the country, it's the maple tree, which gives the maple sap, the maple syrup. And there are many things that we use from that, and they're natural sugars, sweeteners. So we want to be able to give a big thank you to all of the trees of the world and in our regions, that they continue to survive and to live, because without them, there would be no life. So be it in our minds. And then we go to the waters. We say that from a spring that comes to surface from the ground, pure water, to the little streams that there is, and then the creeks, and then the rivers, the lakes, and then the oceans. And we say that that particular part of what the water is it's female. And so we refer to all of the waters as female. Without water, there would be no life of any of the species. And so we want to be able to take a look at that and see how much of that is polluted and how much of that we take for granted. Want to be able to put our minds together today and tonight and be able to put our minds together as one and give a big thank you to all the waters of the world. So be it in our minds. And then we say we look into the heavens. And they said there will be two moons. So the night moon, we say that that's our grandmother, the moon. And that's all the female species of the world. They go according to the different phases of what the moon goes through. From a new moon to the first quarter to the full moon, last quarter, and then there's that little time of resting. And it is Grandmother the Moon who makes it possible of the future generations to come of all species. We plant, we gather, we do ceremonies according to the phases of the moon that goes through. So we want to be able to put our minds together as one and give a good acknowledgement to Grandmother of the Moon. So be it in our minds. And the other one is the day one, and which rises from the east and sets to the west. We say that particular sun is our eldest brother. He makes it possible for us to see the beauty of the land that we walk on and the things that needs to be done. And so we want to be able to put our minds together as one and be able to give a big thank you to our eldest brother, the sun. So be it in our minds. And then we give a good acknowledgement to the stars in the heavens. Those are our ancestors, and those are the future yet to come. And we say they are spirits. And for our people is that we don't write our history because the stars represent that. If we want to know what we need to do, how to do it, when to do it, and why, all we got to do is look into the heavens at night, and the stars will tell us what we need to do. It is written in the stars. So we still practice that, and we still follow that to this day. So we want to be able to put our minds together as one and acknowledge all the stars in the heavens. So be it in our minds. And then we want to be able to acknowledge the four directions. From the east to the west, from the north to the south. The four winds, we call them. We want to be able to give an acknowledgement. For that, we still practice, knowing which direction the sun will come up in the morning and which way we'll set. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. This is La Brava, and that was James Bent. Let's hear it for James. Very, very beautiful music. You're tuning into KPFA's, a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world. We had the honor of listening to Bruce Elijah. I'm sure he's an elder and telling some stories, and it was very unfortunate that we didn't have time to really give him all of our attention. We do have some wonderful guests tonight. Francis Weller, you've already heard him and his poem, and we'll be talking to him more about his work. And Thea Valentina Chavez, it's a very nice welcome. And so this is a wonderful opportunity for all of our audience to listen to something different, really get some empowerment from all this.
Yeah, thank you. And so why don't we take you, Francis, could you tell us a little bit about the work that you do and the life that you committed to the healing work?
It's a huge question. My work is trying to re-indigenize our culture. Remember hearing Jeanette Armstrong, an Okanagan Indian woman elder, once say that the real core work of our time is for us to become indigenous ourselves. And so I've, for the last 25 years, I've been working with trying to find ways to ask that question, what does that mean to become indigenous? And how do we do that, especially for a group of people who are very disconnected from our ancestors, from the land, from traditions and from ritual, from those practices that really helped people establish relationships of depth with community on the earth. So I began to listen. I tried to really become a good listener to the earth, and over the years we've been given many rituals to bring to our community up in Sonoma County, and I have done a lot of training to try to bring what I call learning to think like a village. Because our conditioning as human beings in this culture is so individualized, we don't know how to think like a community anymore. We use the word a lot. It's a word that's on everyone's mouth. We're starving for community, for some experience of belonging, but we don't even know how to think that way. So how does one begin to think communally? How does one begin to think relationally? So we're trying to reestablish those grounds up in our area and up and down the West Coast now, from Seattle down to Santa Barbara.
Thank you very much, and welcome. And
it's good to be here.
So good to see you, Francis and I. We worked together for years up there in Forestville at Skits Place, and a tremendous amount of healing work has gone up there. And Francis now has a book he's just published. And what's the name of that book, Francis?
Entering the Healing Ground, Grief, Ritual, and the Soul of the World.
Mm-hmm. And so thank you for that. And I want to turn a little bit here to Taya. Welcome, Taya.
Thank you.
Yeah, we work together here at in the Fairfax Square. And could you tell us a little bit about you and your life commitment to the healing work and how you're spreading the word?
It's beautiful to be here and see all these smiling faces back at me that you all can't see. My son and Joaquin and Jamil and my husband's here, and it's beautiful to have that manifest before my eyes. And that's my commitment, is, you know, walking the path of being a mother and a wife, and being available for the past 20 years in one spot of West Marin, and just being present as best as I can. And part of that originally began with my own journey of recovery as a teenager from eating disorders and addiction, and in a way seeking ritual that wasn't there, and running away from home and seeking the mission, trying to find something in the mission. And coming full circle, working with women and starting a movement therapy program at Henry Olaf Outpatient years ago, and working with women with eating disorders that felt disconnected to their own breath and their own body. Mm. And using real basic things like the elements. Mm. And having a communication with the earth. And what does that even mean? What do these words even mean? Like when we say all these words, the logos of it all,
I just wanted to ask a quick question, you know, with your work with women, do you find that our traditional media, like television and movies, they're very, very damaging to women? How can you help the women heal from that and not internalize that kind of negative vibrations about who they are?
I'm hearing you. You know, as of late, I've worked mostly with higher, I would say almost higher functioning women, in that they've turned it off. They've committed to not engaging. And yet, beginning to dance again, going back into the dance world a bit now in midlife, watching how just going back into the traditional dance world a bit re-stimulated that in myself and starting to see it alive. So that's why the work that I do is committed to, how do you dance from the inside out? How do you move from the inside out with your eyes closed and dance and find your breath and find yourself? The work that I've done with women has been coming in together for about 4 weeks. They come in and they write poetry. They go back to their own art instead of seeing it. You know, you can still get inspired by it. You can see that you're not the traditional, what it looks like, that's the next fashion picture. But how do you write about that? How do you dance about that and then perform it for your community and offer it up and write a poem about it, about your rage and your anger? You know, how do you look into a friend's eyes who's blonde hair and blue eyes and then see that she's also in pain? You know, it doesn't matter. It's like the thinnest, most beautiful woman sometimes is the one that's in the most pain, and then we do it to each other.
Okay.
We do it to each other as women. And we need to stop. You know, we need to stop. We need to love ourselves and reach out across the table to whatever that woman looks like and reach it out. So that's what I have to say.
Thank you.
Wow, that's our wonderful panel of guests up here, huh? What a lineup. Sign me up. And so, this is David Kukla at KPFA, La Onda Bajita. We're here live at Living Medicines with a wonderful community here. We're building community. We want questions. We want solutions. We're all looking. We're all seeking. That's why we come here, and we have a wonderful brother here, James Bent, who's brought his gift of music, again, reminding each and every one of us we have a gift, and it needs to be claimed, it needs to be owned, and it's got to be brought to the community. And so we want to take a little station break here. Thank you for listening. We're going to be taking some live questions, 510-848-4425. Call in with your questions about traditional healing. We're going to be going into diabetes, the sugar disease, and we'll also take questions, anything else you might have. Something's on your mind, so maybe something aching in your heart that you want to put on the air, something you want to share with us so that we can come together, so we can be stronger, so we can be that one mind that Brother Bruce has been talking about. We have to open it up here, and so we're going to welcome you.
Thank you so much, Jason. Thank you very much. This is La Brava, and once again, you're listening to a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world. We have many special guests, Bruce Elijah and Francis Weller and Thea Valentina Chavez. David, I would like you to talk a little bit about the mission here and the vision.
I started my healing work, like most healers, in your own suffering. I was in my early 20s and had a major breakdown and had to find ways to get myself grounded back here on Earth. And through that, I met some wonderful healers, traditional healers, and found myself and found my purpose. And here I am 35 years later doing the healing work and helping our brothers and sisters, so that they too can find, you know, that good place within themselves, so they can have purpose in life. With that, I had the privilege of meeting Bruce Elijah, a Nida clan of the Iroquois Confederation, a Cundero medicine man. And in working with him for 10 years, we talked about this dream of bringing this to the people, because it's only as good as we bring it to the people. And so we always talked about having a traditional forum from the indigenous cultures, from the four corners, from, you know, it doesn't matter what color you are, you know, our blood's all the same, our bones are all white, and but that we can come together and start sharing this information. And so Miguel had the grace to offer me this slot, and so this has been the longtime vision of the Traditional Healers Forum. Our vision is to join with other traditional indigenous healers from the four corners of the world at an annual gathering to share our traditional healing practices and enhance our ability to meet the needs of our communities in their quest for wellness and a quality life. As traditional healers, we will remain steadfast, firmly rooted in our loyalty to the most ancient of healing values, to do no harm. We will continue to educate our people on the sacredness of the circle and the interrelationship of the body, mind, heart, and spirit. We will maintain our commitment to the necessity to keep in balance the four cardinal directions, which includes the self, family, community, and nation. We will explore and discover ways in which we are able to protect our traditional practices and plant medicines from being outlawed or banned. This is our vision, and it's going to take every one of us. It's going to take all of you traditional healers, and I say every one of us is a healer. We do it in our own way. I want us to come together, and this gathering of traditional indigenous healers will develop a proclamation to be presented to the United Nations that protects traditional healers, our ceremonies, our sacred plant medicines, and other natural medicines we use in our daily healing practices. This annual gathering of healers is in response to the modern dominant culture we live in that has destroyed or ignored our land-based cultures and has dismissed and marginalized the healing wisdom of our ancient traditions. We have forgotten that the medicine that it lives in this world today, the modern medicine, lives on the shoulders of the ancient shamans, of the ancient medicine peoples, the stone peoples. Our mission, the mission of this traditional healers forum, is to bring traditional healing to the forefront of our failing profit-oriented healthcare system and to be recognized by our governments as a legitimate and valued medical practice, thereby giving all peoples freedom of choice in regards to choosing their healthcare provider, whether it is a modern allopathic medicine or a traditional natural medicine. Quality healthcare is a birthright, practiced in our indigenous cultures by traditional healers, and is neither discriminatory nor biased with respect to socioeconomic status. The time is now to bring traditional healers together, all of us together, so that all people can be served and cared for, and this ancient healing wisdom will be preserved, protected, and accessible for our future generations.
That's very, very important. By now you had said you would like to talk to our audience a little bit about diabetes.
Yes, we well know, or maybe some of us well know, that the diabetes is epidemic in throughout the United States, throughout the world, very predominant in our native lands on the reservations. Our brother Dennis Banks just finished that longest walk, educating the people in the reservations to the eating of foods, you know, realizing food is medicine. And so that we want to talk about tonight the sugar disease, and we want to approach it so that everybody can understand a little bit maybe more clearly what a traditional healing is, because that means talking, you know, about the physical body, because that's an essential part, the physiology. There's also an emotional part, and we want to get into that emotional aspect, and also the spiritual. There's also a spiritual element. There's ritual and ceremony, and so I'm going to invite Francis and Taya into that kind of conversation, and we're going to explore it. And we do know that diabetes is really a modern disease. It's been found in some of our indigenous cultures, but not at the extent at which we're experiencing it today. A lot like other chronic diseases that we're seeing surfacing. We're having autoimmune diseases that have been unknown in the, you know, in the millions of years that we've been here. And so that we want to really come forward here and start addressing what it is that we're putting in our bodies. And I'm not talking just about that carrot you're chewing on, but I'm talking about that thought you're thinking. How many of us have forgotten that the thoughts that you think can kill? We don't need guns. You can kill with your thoughts. How many of us have forgotten that we're here because of our ancestors? And that our bodies are connected to them. And the way our body, our DNA, the way that old code lives in us, it is connected to that, which connects to the nutrition we eat, how we think, and how we live here. And so we want to really start, as we, you know, continue our talks, is to let's expand this understanding of who we are. You know, I always said, you know, God really punished us because our eyes only can see forward. They can't turn inward. And so much of what we need to do is that inner work, that healing. And I think Taya spoke a little bit about, you know, how is it that we heal? How do we do that inner work? What does that mean? Why would I want to do that? And so with that, I want to talk to Bruce if he's there on the line, because he's had diabetes and he has dealt with it. And Bruce, you on the line there?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you? We only have a few minutes here, but could you begin that conversation on diabetes and how you're approaching it?
Yeah. I've had diabetes now. Going on 27 years.
27 years.
And I did a study back in 1967 to see how many of our people, had diabetes, and I was losing relatives and family members through diabetes, and I was getting kind of worried about it, and, you know, the doctors were saying that there was no cure for diabetes. Well, you know, prior to 1930, our people didn't have diabetes. And they never had cancer. So I began to, began to take a look at, you know, is that what was the things that they were doing? Or was that they were either drinking or else eating that prevented all of that with our natural foods, our ways of prevention? And so recently I've explored even, it's been under control for the last 15 years, and I want to go deeper into it. So I start eating their foods, the foods that was, I guess, our traditional foods, we can call it, and the medicines, our natural herbs. And as of last year, October of last year, I stopped taking the pills for diabetes. And my sugar level is normal in today's day. And the doctors are amazed. They want to know what is it that I'm taking.
The wonderful local healer, Curandera, here in Fairfax, California, at Living Medicines, will be coming back and exploring on a deeper level, emotional and spiritual, and how we can also start dealing with this epidemic and bring health and wellness to our people. And so with that, we're going to take a little station break. This is David Kukla at Living Medicines. This is at La Onda Bajita.
And this is La Brava. I'm here with David Kukla and a lot of great people in the audience. We are having a discussion about diabetes. As you know, diabetes is very much an epidemic in our society, and a lot of it is because of our lifestyle and our diet. So we're going to be talking to Francis Weller also. And David, would you like to open up the discussion?
Thank you very much. The sugar disease. It's epidemic, not really knowing what to do. Once you're on the insulin, body becomes deaf to it, and you keep taking larger and larger doses. Eventually, it's the secondary side effects that are really devastating. It's the, you know, loss of limbs, the loss of hearing, loss of eyes. So there's a whole degeneration that happens in this, what we call the sugar disease. And we're going to talk somewhat about food, somewhat about herbs tonight. But I want to right now at this time turn it over to Francis Weller, who knows how to dig deep. So, Brother Francis, could you come in on that one and approach it from the kind of the work that you do?
We call diabetes, heart disease, cancer, we call them diseases of civilization. So what is it? What happened when civilization came in, and what did it disrupt? And we talk about diabetes as epidemic, but so is depression. So is addiction. So is anxiety. These things all sprang out. There is an epidemic of many pathologies right now in the culture, and they're all related. They come out of this matrix that has ripped us out of a connection to one another. And to what I call the primary satisfactions. As we evolved as a species, the only reason we succeeded as a species is because we granted the soul what it needed to thrive. We were able to determine over thousands of generations what it is we needed. We needed ample touch. We needed to sing together. We needed to grieve together. Grief in this culture is solitary. It's private. And we feel ashamed when we're sick. We feel ashamed when we feel weakened. But to the primary satisfactions, that was part of what we brought to one another. So these primary satisfactions also included rituals of celebration and gratitude, gathering food together. And we were all shaped by this for thousands of generations. To expect that when we woke up in the morning, we could walk out and find 40 pairs of eyes staring back at us, saying, "What did you dream last night? And would you go and gather food with me this morning? Would you go help me get water?" And that's what we expected when we arrived here, and we got none of it. So there's this profound emptiness in our bodies. There's this profound emptiness in our souls. And what does this culture tell us to stuff into it? Twinkies! You know, whatever you can possibly grab onto to stuff into that emptiness. So do these diseases of depression and diabetes are symptomatic of this profound emptiness that we're experiencing. And we need to grant it what it really requires to thrive. They did a very interesting research with a group of Aboriginal men in Sydney. All of them had advanced diabetes, just like Bruce was saying. And they asked them to go out and begin to live traditionally again. When within 6 months, the symptoms of diabetes and heart disease began to disappear. But it's that traditional way of living in community, connecting to one another. We cannot do this alone. There's a wonderful phrase from South Africa that says, "I am because we are." We have "I think, therefore I am." very private, very insulated, very alone. We need to come back into each other's company. In the absence of primary satisfactions, all we have left are secondary. Mm. Seeking of power, wealth, status, rank, privilege, material goods, and then the other ones of addiction, drugs, sugar. And these things will never fill us. In fact, the more we attach ourselves to them, the emptier we feel. Have you ever noticed that?
Mm.
When you try to stuff those things in that emptiness, what happens is you feel even emptier.
Mm.
So we have to begin to grant ourselves again the primary satisfactions, the things that the soul requires to feel whole and alive.
Mm-hmm.
The wonderful phrase, you know, from South Africa, you know, when death finds you, make sure it finds you alive.
That's wonderful, Francis. Those brilliant words. Let's turn this into over to Taya, and maybe you can follow up there in the direction of, Francis was saying, that it's just symptomatic. The diabetes, the cancers, the Lyme diseases, the autoimmunes, all of these are symptomatic of something deeper, of what needs to be healed. And I always like to say, what is it that we've forgotten? So that when people come to see me, they want to know what they can do to fix themselves, and they want something new. And I always say, in order to move forward, you have to go backwards. What have you forgotten? Who are your people? How did they live? Who did they pray to? What were their ceremonies? Can you feel it in your blood? Can you feel it in your bones? And then they say to me, well, I don't know who I am, David. I'm a mutt. Mutts. I says, well, which one speaks strongest to you? And every time there's one that speaks strongest, and I say, follow that one. And in that place, then they start going in and they start finding those ancient symbols. They start finding those ancient ceremonies. And all of a sudden they're coming back to see me and they're feeling better about themselves. They're bringing in books they found. They're bringing in songs. They're bringing in shrines. They're saying, oh my gosh, David, these are my people. Now they've become somebody. Because who we are is more than just ourselves. When we really understand that who we are is this collective, we will find wellness. And so with that, Tay, I'd like to see if you want to chime in on that and bring some of your wonderful words.
Thank you. The image that comes to my mind is being here at the center, and I'm down the hallway and having seen clients all day from 8 in the morning till about 3. And kissing women's cheeks goodbye and tears streaming down their faces, and one woman needing to take her sugar tablets because she was getting a little dizzy on the table as she has diabetes. And asking her, you know, when's the last time she went to do her Qigong, which has been helping her so much. When she does her Qigong, it is healing her diabetes, and she feels that. She feels that deep in her body. And being tired, you know, kind of spent, and yet open, and knocking on David's door one afternoon and saying, do you have time to see me? Now. And right there in that room where the musician's playing over to my right, and this beautiful, beautiful red room on the floor on this shiatsu mat, I just lied down and I cried. And I cried about my father's passing from ALS and caretaking him for 3 years.
That's right.
And it was his anniversary. So that's the living art, is how do we do the living art, and being able to pick up the phone to my husband saying, I'm going to be a little late. Can you hold it down? So, you know, to me, it's that sense of, in a moment, when I was supposed to be going left, I turn right, and then here I am speaking. Because I feel like that motion brought me here with all of you in such a sweet, sweet way tonight on this beautiful summer night. So ho, and blessings to all the words spoken, however perfect, imperfect we are as human beings. And that's the thing, is we are not. We're so beautifully broken. And that's what needs to happen, to let this light shine through. Whatever is manifesting, you know, whatever dis-ease, we try to hide it. Especially in certain circles, we just need to stop. So, I don't know, diabetes, cancer, I have lots of information, but, you know, we can get that. Lots of wonderful information. Right now, I think it's more about what's between the words and the warmth. Somehow, can we get that across with a touch, a look, a moment? So, thank you.
Yeah, that was wonderful. And it makes me think of maybe a question. And I always say probably the best healing anyone can give you is a question, not so much an answer. And that question that comes forward in my heart is, can I allow sweetness in my life? And it's maybe not so much how to find it, but maybe how much I can allow myself to see it and feel it each day, as Bruce or Brother Bruce was saying, walking out there at that sunrise and greeting that your eldest brother and saying thank you. And open your heart to him. And can you feel that? I remember the years it took me in my healing, you know, to feel again. That's a lot of our brothers, a lot of our men. That's where we struggle. You know, we hide those tears, right, Doc?
Mm-hmm.
We hide them deep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we hide them deep. And so, you want to talk a little bit about hiding those tears, Doc, before we take a little break?
Well, it goes back to that sense that to show weakness in this culture, particularly for men, is shameful. And we are conditioned very early on to put them into the lower chamber and never bring them out. And consequently, our hearts grow hard and dry and very brittle. And we see decisions being made in this culture that are heartless and cold. You know, so that grief, you know, that when we begin to crack that open, I always say that grief is a wonderful solvent.
Mm.
It can soften the hardest places in our hearts and make us fluid again. So we can register everything that's moving in the world, the beauties, the sorrows, the gifts, the tragedies. We need men and women who can register all of them. Otherwise, the things that are going on, we will be numb to. And we can't afford any of us to be numb anymore. We have to wake up, and we have to be willing and have the courage to feel and to weep together. We should be having grief rituals every month, every week. When I was in Africa, getting to witness grief rituals there that last 3 days. We have a funeral here, it lasts maybe an hour, and we apologize if we cry. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, forgive me. There, the whole intention is to get the entire community to let it go.
Mm.
To give that ancestor, the one who has died, a river of tears to make it to the land of the ancestors.
Mm.
That's beautiful.
Mm.
That's elegant. That's wise. And we are here, dry as a bone, afraid to cry.
Mm.
And we must remember what it means to be human beings again and weep together.
Mm.
And then we can laugh together.
Thank you. And this is David Kukla at KPFA La Honda Bajita live in Fairfax, California at Living Medicines, 85 Bolinas Road, number 7, where we come together to heal, so that we can create this new world, not only for ourselves, but for also for all the little ones sitting here in this little room of ours. We say hello and thank you for coming and showing up, because you are our future, and we hope these words touch your heart in a way that feeds your dreams tonight. So with that, we're going to take a little station break. We're going to bring in James Bantier, our wonderful musician, and stay tuned for more on Healing the Sweet Disease.
From inside my heart, deep is poured light, the spirit of true love. Oh, spirit of love, I hear you calling. That binds me to the past. There are times that I feel that I am unworthy. What shall I give in return? For you are the light, shining light. You are the spirit of
Thank you so much. You've been listening to James Bent live in our studio here. This is Abrava, and I'm here with David Kukula, and we are having a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world. We've been talking about diabetes and some of the imbalances that have interrupted our well-being. And so, David, I want you to go ahead and continue.
Thank you. Norman LaBrava, again, a pleasure to be here. It's wonderful seeing all these faces, people that I know and some new faces. I want to thank you for showing up and being here at this live show. We're wanting to, each program that we have, which next one will be September 23rd, we're going to be focusing on these different diseases and talking about not only maybe the cause, but also we want to know what can we do about it. I mean, it's one thing to say, well, this is why you're this way, and it's known that this sugar disease is really been pretty much acknowledged that it's from highly processed foods, and it's not so much a sugar disease as a highly processed food disease, and so that we know that. Well, look how we eat, and look how our children eat, and does it make any sense that they're not dying from diabetes? And so, from a very physiological place, and of which, all of us here on the panel realize that there is no separation between the body, the mind, heart, spirit. They're all connected. And so that each one of those connect to each other. And so from as you eat better, you're going to start feeling better. As you start thinking better, you're going to start feeling better. They all connect. And so the first place, traditionally, what I always tell people is that I want you to start eating your traditional diet the best that you can. And then people say, well, huh, but I live here in America. This is a good point. And so then I say, always acknowledge the land that you're sitting on. And so that when we come into this, when we come into this, we always say when we join a new land, first thing we do is we say a prayer to the spirits that live on that land. So that the spirits here at this healing center, here at Living Medicines, has been acknowledged, and we feed those ancestral spirits. That's food. The second thing we do is we say, look at the way that the indigenous people of this land ate. What was the indigenous diet? Far contrary to what you see in the grocery store. And we wonder why we're sick. Somehow we've created longevity in empty bodies. So it's a real interesting thing when we look at the statistics, you know, and how they're twisted and torn, right? And they say, well, look how long we live now. We must be doing something right. And what is that? Doc, I'd like to turn to you and maybe go into that a little bit.
Well, your last words reminded me of a phrase from Diane Ackerman. She says, I don't want to live only the length of my days, but the breadth of my life as well. And how wide and how broad of a life do we actually get to inhabit? How much do we actually get to live inside of our lives? I'm thinking also particularly about food and how we share food. And when we gather in our village, food is ceremonial. It is a celebration. It is an act of gratitude. It is something that we eat slowly. My first mentor was this wonderful 65-year-old man. I was a very young, newly licensed therapist. And I sat down with him. I was wise enough to know I didn't know anything about doing this work. So I sat down with him, and the first thing he said to me is he reached over and patted this large rock by his side and said, this is my clock. I operate at geologic speed. And if you're going to work with the soul, you need to learn this rhythm, because this is how the soul moves. We are a culture of speed. We have fast food, fast days. The faster, the better. But the soul moves so slowly. So even sharing our food together should be something that we do slowly. And with enjoyment and sensuality and pleasure. Not just did you get your belly full, but did we enjoy the meal? Did we share good words over this food? Did we enjoy each other's company? Many of us eat our meals alone, watching TV. You know, and something of the substance of what it is we're taking into our bodies is lost. And again, there we go back to that emptiness. How do I simply just fill it up without truly being nourished? I was working with a man one time talking about primary and secondary satisfactions. And I was describing the secondary satisfactions. I said, they're like sugar. They're empty calories. And as I'm describing the primary satisfactions, he stopped and goes, ah, protein. Yes, that's what you need.
And so, let's tie that into one of the questions we have from one of our guests in the audience. What may be the most effective solution to treating diabetes type 1, alternatives to insulin? And so I believe what I heard Francis talking about, it's not only what you eat, but how you eat. And we have such a focus in this diet obese society. You know, I always say, you know, we're living in an obese society that's starving to death. How is it that we eat? Do we dare chew our food? Do we dare go to the store and buy a bag of carrots and a box of apples and chew on them? And so when we talk about an alternative to insulin, we're talking about vegetables. We're talking about fruits. it's important to remember that here in North America on Turtle Island, that wheat is not a natural grain to this land. I've been really fascinated over the last 10 years of all these younger people coming to me with this gluten-free diet. And I've been asking myself, what has happened to us that this grain is not being able to be absorbed by these young people? Only to realize that as our consciousness grows, we're not going to be able to do those things that we used to do. Wheat does not grow on Turtle Island. What does? Corn, squash, buffalo, deer, elk, fish, seaweed, berries. So when you're talking about an alternative to type 1 diabetes, an alternative to insulin, you do have to look at your diet and the indigenous diet of the peoples that lived on this land. Wherever you go, if you go to Alaska and you eat nothing but vegetables and fruit, you're going to start freezing to death because you're going to need some seal oil in your body to maintain the heat. That the food of the Eskimo is as sacred, them eating meat every day and don't even know what a fruit is no more inferior or superior to people who live down in the rainforest and who eat the vegetables and the fruits and the small birds and the small fishes. So we have to open our minds to one, to the land and to the spirit of the people that lived on this land, wherever you live. And then follow your ancestry. I, for example, have Sami blood in me. My people do not drink milk. Reindeer milk. Different than this cow stuff. When I was a baby, I was totally allergic to cow milk. So that at the 3 months, I was radiated. My thymus was radiated at 3 months of age. When they were practicing on us little babies, us little guys, in 1948 to 1952, nuclear medicine was given a birth at the cost of about 3 million children, of which approximately 2 million of those who were radiated at that young age have died from cancer. I live without a thyroid because of it. I live because I eat good foods and in ways that Doc's talking about. And so there's an alternative. There's a beginning step. Taya, would you like to add anything on to that?
Yeah, I'd like to add a little bit onto that, but also to another question and then blend them a bit. The question here is, traditional healing has come to be seen as alternative and has been marginalized. I'm curious what your relationship is in relation to mainstream culture, and how do you bridge the gap? And whoever else wants to help answer this when I'm done is great. The word that came to me with that question is integration, complementary. And to me, it's important that somehow we have that there's a conversation between allopathic medicine and traditional medicine, and that needs to perhaps be here, you know, where we invite some allopathic physicians and there's a conversation. One Western esoteric stream that I feel is available for that is anthroposophical medicine based on Rudolf Steiner's work. And then the biodynamic farming. And so that's something that's available and perhaps can be discussed in some further evenings. But there's a bridge there, and it's tangible, and it's here, and it's West. But it's really reaching deep into the soul and heart of who we are as human beings. And I feel that that could be something really beautiful. It's like bridging the right and left hemisphere. And I feel that's, to answer that second question, is traditional healing does not mean pushing away allopathic, in my perception. When I was hit by a car at 9 and my right femur stopped growing, I needed allopathic medicine at that time. That's what was needed. Now, if we lived in a different time, I don't know if I'd have this leg. And then the surgery that ensued later, the surgeries that ensued to shorten the left leg, where now I dance. You know, allopathic medicine and Shriners Hospital were key in my development of meeting heart-centered physicians that actually cared. So I think walking between the worlds and finding some way to integrate is key.
Thank you, Taya. Francis, do you want to add a few words to that before we go on break?
Just quickly, I think what I see a lot in my practice is people who really struggle with self-care, because a lot of them who come into my office don't feel like they matter enough. Like somehow whatever they're given is as good as it's going to get. And so they live lives of endurance, you know, trying to, again, make it through to the end of the day, through the end of the life. And the capacity to really develop self-compassion and bring that to bear is a deep work of our time. You know, we've forgotten that we matter, partly because that root of our belonging has been so shattered. And when we fragment out of belonging, the internalized experience is that somehow I'm not worth it. And I can see a lot of tears out in the audience around that theme. So I just want to put a word out there for looking at your own difficulties and your own struggles around self-care. And do I matter enough? And absolutely the answer is yes.
Thank you. This is David Kukula at KPFA. This is La Onda Bajita. We're doing a live show at Traditional Healing Forum from the Four Corners of the World. Please stay tuned. We have more coming up, more questions and answers. Right now we're going to take a small break. Thanks for listening. James Bent, beautiful musician, is going to take it from here.
When you see on a lady by moonlight, you will be by the sea, every breeze, every wave will whisper, you are mine, don't ever go away.
Love it, come on.
Let's hear it for James and Company. We're very, very lucky to have them here live with us tonight. And we have a lot of questions about staying healthy from our audience, questions about how we can protect ourselves from genetically modified food and all kinds of things out there that will get us if we let it. So, David, why don't you answer some of these questions for us?
Thank you. Thank you, LaBrava. Always a pleasure sitting next to you in the Healing Lodge. I wanted to follow up a little bit on this last question on how do we bridge the gap between mainstream and traditional healing. Well, personally, I don't believe there's a gap. There's room for everyone. I think that when we get over our egos, in the sense of power, in the sense of control, in the sense of greed, when we can come to the table, the round table, at that place, I'll be there. Because there's room for all of us. And I believe that tool is really education. This program is an offer to the bigger community to come sit with us at this round table so that we can understand that there's room for everyone. And our languages might be different, but they don't need to scare us or separate us. We may wear different clothes. Some of us may be surgeons. Some of us may be pharmacists. Some of us may be shamans. There's a need for all of us. And so it's not an either or, but there's something inherent in the society that we live that makes us think that there's a gap, when a gap doesn't exist. Because as long as we live in a divisive mind, as long as we live in a way that sees separation, we will have lost. But when we can put our guns and knives down and come together as a people and address the needs of a community without being threatened of who's in and who's out, the big question in community, we will fail. And maybe, Doc, you might want to talk a little bit about who's in and who's out in this sense of coming together as community. And, you know, is there a gap?
I like how you always set me up, David.
I was born that way.
I know. I'm used to you. What I was thinking was I frequently see physicians in my practice, and you wouldn't believe the levels of grief they carry. The split between their longing to be healers and what they're allowed to do is getting greater and greater, and they're feeling this deep sorrow, this chronic depression in their body, that they cannot do what they were called to do. The gap isn't between medicine traditions, it's between business and healing. So the gap that's really destroying what we're trying to do isn't between so much the healing traditions. We could have a great conversation. But it's these systems of monopolies of insurance companies that make it impossible for these physicians to practice their art. So the art is being lost in favor of economics and bottom line. Even in my practice, I'm allowed 5 sessions with a patient. Like, you know, get quick, you know, get healed fast. We take a very, it's in a sense, we've been given a militaristic vision of medicine. Attack the symptom. Kill it. Get rid of it. And where is the room for compassion? Where is the room for true healing? If you're given no space, no time, and no room to actually sit with the patient, to hear the deep lament. Now, most of the people come into my office who are complaining of depression or addiction. When I truly listen, what they're saying is, I carry grief that I cannot lay down. And it is caught in my liver, it's caught in my heart, it's caught in my kidneys, it's caught in my arthritis, it's caught in my entire body. and I need to be able to set it down. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're all being asked to tend to, is this chronic grief that's saturated the culture.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, good words. And we'd like to go to our next question by my favorite young man, Daniel Gettler. And he wants to know what we can do as a community to combat GMO food companies such as Monsanto. More specifically, what can unprivileged communities do without financial resources? Note, companies are not required by the FDA in any way to label GMA foods. GMA, GMO, GTY, who am I?
Yo. To me?
Yeah.
You didn't even set me up. You just like canned me the mic. Okay, here we go. Hi, David.
Hi, Dan. I'll step in here, let you catch your breath.
Thanks.
And GMO, what can we do to these food companies? What's happening to our corn? What's happening to our rice? What's happening to our foods? That Monsanto, these genetic modified foods. And the truth being is that it's another way to create a monopoly of control over our food supply. Because once they have a control over our food supply, then we will be dependent strictly on their needs. And not to know, this jury's still out on the consequences of GMO foods, right? And so I know back in the 70s, I worked with Abundant Life Seeds up in Port Townsend, Washington, and our goal was to preserve and maintain the traditional seeds, the non-hybridized seeds, the vegetables, and the fruits. And our campaign was worldwide to have people throughout the world to send us those seeds, and we safeguarded them in safes. And so, one, it's to make sure that in our gardens, you know, that we start definitely buy those non-hybridized seeds. You can find them. Horizon Herbs up in Oregon, you can get a non-hybridized seed. All your seeds that you get, the burpee seeds, all the seeds that you find in most of your retail shops are hybridized. They're not the traditional. In other words, the second generation, if you let your tomato plant go to seed, if you let your carrot go to seed, collect that seed in the fall, thinking that you're going to be planting a carrot the next year, you're not. It's not going to be a carrot because it's a hybrid. It's genetically cloned. And so the only way that you can really safeguard your own food supply, number one, is start to educate yourself on what does this mean? What does this hybridized food mean? And Monsanto is just an extension of what's been going on for the past 50 years, post-World War II. And it's the large agribusiness putting the small farmers out. It's control, and then it ties over not only from Monsanto, then it goes into separating the healers and the great grief that our educated MDs carry. And so it permeates all the fabric of our life, and Monsanto's one. And so I know for myself, and you probably feel the same way, Daniel, that we have to be conscious of the food that we buy and where we get it. And then the second question you bring up is really wonderful, because most underprivileged people cannot shop at Whole Foods. Most people in need cannot afford organic foods. When we started the food cooperative movement back in the 60s, that's why we did food co-ops. I recently had a discussion with a young friend of mine. Said, I think it would be time for Fairfax to have a food co-op, where then we as a community will share our labor so that people, regardless of economic social status, can buy healthy food. Because now it's food for the privileged. And I resent that. I get goosebumps just saying it. because this food, organic food, grown without pesticides, how dare they charge more for that? How dare they? And so with that, I want to thank you, Daniel, for your courage, and good to see you again, and let's get together after the show.
I just wanted to mention that the city of Berkeley has a lot of community gardens, and they are planting gardens everywhere, so that not only do we have edible schoolyards, we have an edible cityscape. It's a beginning, and I'm very proud to be part of that.
Uh-huh.
So I also would like to thank Kevin and Ron for helping me with my garden.
And I just want to mention that the Lagunitas School District has a beautiful community garden out in West Marin, and many schools have that, and that's happening. So there's hope.
No more hybridized seeds. Get your seeds from the traditional heirlooms. Research it. It's available. Go on the internet. You can get them, plant them, save those seeds. Those are the future. And with that, we're going to bring in another little station break. This is David Kukla at KPFA at Living Medicines in Fairfax, California, with a wonderful community here in our circle as we are reaching for healing, not only for ourselves, but also for the community. With that, welcome James Bent.
On behalf of Eva Lan the Music, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to be here with you guys tonight.
Aloha, Te Akua, Te Akua Manawa.
All right, Everybody, let's give a big hand to James Gunn, band members, and Lady Brown. We don't have a lot of time left. You're tuned into La Onda Bajita, and we have a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world with David Kukula,
Taya,
and Francis. It's been very, very educational tonight. So we only have a little bit of time, so maybe we can answer a few more questions.
Thank you, Norma. This next question is really sort of caught me. It's really got my attention. What are some middle steps for folks who can't or return to traditional foods, besides including praying over food? And so we're looking like, what's that middle path? It sort of comes to me. I remember when I was back in my 30s and I was living in a Buddhist temple over in Japan, and one of the older monks, he came to me, and I was struggling, you know, I mean, Jesus, you know, I was praying twice a day and 7 days a week, and man, I was full, you know. And so he said, David, he said, you know, the middle path is the hardest one to find. And I really struggled with trying to understand what he was trying to tell me. And so what I got from him was, I've lived a life of extremes. You know, it's sort of hot and cold, sweet or sour. And where is that middle path? And so that, I think for all of us, you know, it's about getting out of that black and white and into that gray zone somewhere. And so how is it that I can look at the food that I eat and maybe look at those extreme sides? Okay, where am I extreme? You know, maybe it's on the alcohol. Maybe it's on the sugar. Maybe it's on the fried food. Maybe it's on the processed food. Where are the extremes? Because those middle steps is identifying your extremes. So in other words, it's not me to give you an answer to that. I don't know what a middle step is for you. You have to look at your life and see where it's not in balance. Where are you stretching it too far, one way or the other? That's a middle step. And so then start cutting, taking those extremes, because then as soon as you flip to one extreme, then you're going to flip back to the next. Too much salt's going to take you into too much sugar, which is going to take you into too much salt. So what you going to do, Bambi? And so with that, I'd like to turn a little bit again over to Francis Weller, a healer up in Sonoma who's been gifting us with his words tonight. Would you have a few more words on that middle step?
I would take an approach that may not be familiar or usual, which was, is the food beautiful? Is the food beautiful? The color, the fragrance, the taste, the texture. Is beauty a part of the food that you're choosing? Packaged food isn't so beautiful. It doesn't seem to have a lot of soul in it, if you know what I mean. So I think a step that we can all take is to look at beauty as a very fundamental part of our soul's necessity. The soul requires beauty in everything we do, including what we choose to put into our bodies.
And Ted, do you have a few words?
I do, just bringing it back to the polarities of women and body image and eating disorders, is going into those polarities has never worked for me. Middle ground seems to be the way that seems to be the best. And coming into just simple pleasures and being present with the food and the breath and the sunlight and loving oneself no matter what, and finding one's way with whatever you put in your body, blessing it, loving it, and bringing warmth of heart to it. I think that's it, is those middle steps for me, is listening to my own body's voice and with big ears.
Yeah, huh? Wisdom. Given quenching my thirst. With that, I want to say a little closing prayer. I want to thank the ancient ones who've come here and been with us today. I want to thank them for opening our ears and our eyes to each other. Open our hearts to our brother that's going to be journeying on to the other side, Edward Christopher Bennett. We say a special prayer to Edward right at this time. Did he find that canoe and make that journey home safe? And we'll give him those tears to help help a flow there. We're going to miss you. We're going to miss you. And to our sister Carol, that your recovery is good. If you need help, we always say there's only two things you do alone. That's get born and that's when you die. And everything in between, we need each other. And if you need anything, sister, you know, let us know. And we want to thank the plants. We want to thank all the plant medicines. We want to thank all the plants that come and help feed and help heal that disease, that sugar disease, to come be with us. And we have many, and we're going to continue to strive to be those good peoples and to stay on our path. We want to thank all of creation for today and the gift that it brought. We want to thank all of you who've come here through the kindness of your heart to share in this circle. We want to thank all of those who are standing behind you for all the kindness and love that you've given them so that they can be here. Today we want to give thanks so that we can see tomorrow in a better way. Hope.
This is La Brava, and I want to thank you all for listening to a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world. I'd like to thank our executive producer, Miguel Molina, and our engineers, Pedro and Mr. Chuch. Hello, Mr. Chuch, up there. I also want to thank our supporters, shop.naturallystoked.com, runka.com, Michelle Matlin, CPA, and Flower Child Event Design. Also, the Sage Lounge, 1601. And that's Soma's new Wi-Fi cafe. And, of course, our musicians, James Bent, Guy Mendez. Thank you so much for everything. David, tell us real quick about our next program.
Our next program is going to be September 23rd here at Living Medicines in Fairfax, 85 Bolinas Road, number 7. Please come 8 to 10. Bring your heart, bring your soul, bring your concerns. We come here to heal and support each other. Thank you.
And once again, if you'd like to talk to David or get a hold of him, you can visit www.livingmedicines.com or visit him at the Traditional Healing Clinic and the Herbal Apothecary at 85 Bolinas Road in Fairfax, California. So once again, I want to thank everybody for being here and supporting us. Once again, let's have a big hand for the musicians.
And hopefully we'll be having James Bent and Guy Mendez with us on Radio Cafe in the near future. So stay tuned. My name is Miguel Gavilan Molina. I'd just like to thank our crew tonight, our host here, David Cucula and Norma Labrava, for bringing this show together. Special guest Bruce Elijah, Francis Weller, Teya Valentina Chavez, and of course my technical director on location, Pedro Reyes, our assistant, Falcon, and Lydia. And we'd like to thank Lydia for bringing us some of the goods we have here for afterwards here, and everybody that participated tonight in making this possible. I'd like to thank you, the audience, for making this really community participatory radio. Give your fans a good hand of applause here. And now I'm going to send it back to Mr. Chuch. For now, I'm going to say, a rato, cortinas, naranjas, se acabó, al final. And again, we'll be back next week. Keep it right here nomás, 94.1 FM, KPFA, your free speech radio network. And now I'm going to send this back to the mothership in Basurclas to Mr. Chuch. Órale.